Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio, and together partners at Amity Kett. This podcast session, we are talking about finding the right design team, why hiring an architect and interior designer is important, and finding the right one for you.
A lot of times when we first start working with clients, we find that they don't really understand what we do. Would you say that's true, Diane?
Yes. And a lot of times they're not really sure with what the process is going to be and how it's all going to actually happen and how they get everything that is in their head into our head and out through onto a piece of paper in a design of a house. So sometimes it's a bit nerve-wracking, but luckily we've done it so many times that we're able to help make them feel better.
Yeah, we can take them in hand and help them get from point A to point B. They look at our portfolios and they see a project that they love or a concept or an idea, or they've been given our name from someone and they want what that person has or what they've seen and they don't know how to get there. They need basically a roadmap. So that's what we're here for.
So how would you start to build a design team?
I think the important thing up front I find when I meet with clients is to ask them a lot of questions about where they want to be in a couple of years. What is the point you want to be at in a few years? Are you purchasing a house that you want to get some advice about before you make that final purchase? And without kind of knowing where they want to go with it, I cannot direct them as to the first steps. So I don't think that exactly answers your question, but that's, I think, a good place to start is with a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think we start finding out what is their plan. Are they going to live there for a couple years? Have they lived there for 20 years? Is this their end-all and be-all home? They want to raise their kids through high school, and then they're going to leave. There's all kinds of different things. And so that happens in that first interview process where we're trying to find out what is the purpose for this? What's your life going to be? How do we help create a space that's going to support that part of your life journey that you're on?
I also think it's really interesting that people sometimes can't see the forest for the trees, and they get to a place where they know that they want something different than what they have, but they don't know how to achieve it. And sometimes they're designing or thinking of designing to the life they're living at that very moment. Maybe it's they have young kids and they want an open floor plan. How many times have you heard that? So they can make sure the kids don't choke while they're making breakfast, or make sure they're monitoring what the kids are doing on the computer. We begin a project and by the time we finish, the kids have moved out of that phase and nobody's choking at the breakfast table anymore. And they've designed something that doesn't work for the house in the long term. So I think some of it is kind of walking them through, how long are you going to be in this house? What are the final outcomes that you want? How is your life going to change? Because we're really, I see us as people who are protecting the investment that they've made in their homes.
True. Yeah, definitely.
If I were giving my sort of top points to clients for how to put together a design team, I think you want to find someone who's a good listener, which I think I'm just going to promote Diane here for a minute. This is what I always tell people when they're looking for an architect. A lot of them don't listen well, or they just want to put their mark on something despite what the client wants. And not trying to badmouth a whole group of people here, but it happens. So a good architect, and Diane falls into this category, listens to the client and advocates for what they want. But as she just mentioned, sometimes knows what's best for them and is patient and lets them come back around to what the right decision is.
Yeah, I definitely think listening is really important. You know, that's just my goal. It's always been as an architect is to create a space that's for them, not necessarily for me. you know, people end up much happier in their house. And that's usually what my end goal is. I love architecture and I love all different kinds of styles. There's some architects that just like to do one type of style and they're very happy doing that. But for me, I like all different styles. And I think if you get the proportion right, then whatever style you use, it'll look awesome.
And it's great that you mentioned that because I think for me as an interior designer, the same thing is true. There's a lot of interior designers that want to make it their project in despite what the client wants. They have their own personal goals. And I think those are important to have in mind, especially if they are really good expertise and they have a lot of experience and what they're the advice they're giving is perhaps a process that should be gone through versus an outcome that they want. Kind of understanding what the client wants and leading to that, I think, is good. But honestly, I think a huge part of that is leaning into what the existing architecture of the home is. You can't take, you know, a 1980s suburban two-story and turn it into, you know, a mid-century modern ranch style. It just doesn't work. You can lean in that direction, but you have to address at least the architecture of the home, unless you're tearing it down and starting over.
Well, I was going to say you could tear off the roof and take off some parts of the house. It just depends how much you want to spend.
So Diane took that as a challenge. No, everything just has a number next to it. And I agree with you. I think it's one of these, it's at least a conversation. You know, I've worked with people where I've said, okay, I know you really want a farmhouse. We're not going to be able to do this to this 1970s ranch style and have you be happy in the end. It's not the right thing. It's not the right investment for your house. You're not going to be happy. You should go buy another house is sometimes the answer. And that has happened too, is we can try to fit this square peg into this round hole, but it's going to cost you much more. But maybe that's the answer. And sometimes clients want that. They want, okay, well, we're willing to change something significant about the exterior of the home. And there's one project, Diane, that project that you did that every time you show the before and after on, nobody believes it's the same house. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I think so.
Yeah. It's in Barton Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what you did on that house? Because I still don't know if I believe that it's really the same house. And that was an amazing transformation.
This is the one where it was completely falling apart and we put it all back together. And so I was shopping with some clients. Sometimes I do that to help them find a house to then remodel and add on. Or I help them shop for lots too. So this in the neighborhood, there weren't really any lots. And so we had looked at some houses and they'd say, do you think this is it? I'd say, no. And then we walked into this one and I said, this is it. It smelled like cat pee. Cats had been in there urinating everywhere. This poor woman had died in the house and just wasn't able to take care of it. I said, don't even walk over in that corner in the kitchen because it's about to fall off. And they said, are you kidding? And I said, no, this is great. And so we ended up turning it into a really great house. And we actually just met with them again. I think it's been 7 years to do an addition because we were going to do a carport kind of studio space, and we didn't do it at the time, and so now they're thinking about going ahead with that. So yeah, it was fun to revisit it again. Talk about the old story.
Yeah,
we walked in and said, "You've got to be
smells
kidding
like
me.
Cat pee. Let's buy it."
Oh, there was also a ghost. We had to get rid of the ghost.
That happens. Again, it's all there's numbers attached to all of it. Unfortunately, sometimes, but
yeah,
something can always be done.
Yes, definitely. And also when it comes to your house, and again, it's so emotional that I think sometimes, you know, people just feel that it's worth the money to spend. And maybe that economic equation of putting money into your house and if you were to sell it right then and there doesn't quite work out. But again, if you're going to live there for 10 years, it's probably okay. And are you going to enjoy it? And will it bring you happiness? So there's so many other elements that go into making that decision.
So I think the important thing in assembling your team is making sure you have real expert professionals and then letting them lead when it's time for them to lead, taking the pressure off of you. And then I think it's a wonderful thing when you have what it is that is great about also working with expert professionals is that they have talent in their builders and in their upholstery workrooms and in their window treatment companies. Sometimes that talent is not interested in working with you as the homeowner directly because it's not the best relationship for them to do a one-off project. Their relationship is with the architect or the interior designer who gives them 15 jobs a year versus you who's got one. And so you get a lot better quality tradespeople and talent on your team when you come, when you use one of the tried and true professionals that the architect or interior designer knows is going to call them back, going to prioritize their projects and pay close attention because they have that long-term value. We have clients that have very small projects that we can get very good builders on that wouldn't normally be interested, but they're interested because it's a project that we're giving them and they have that relationship with us. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big factor.
Yeah, I think that happens also. Like if somebody decided they wanted to build it themselves, GC it themselves, I mean, it's going to take so much longer and then you just don't have the pull with those subcontractors. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, you can't get that electrician to call you back if you are just one person. And it's not that anybody hasn't got your best interest at heart. They're just busy. They pay more attention when you've got that relationship. So that's a big part of it. Now, just to clarify too, typically the interior designer or the architect doesn't make any money through the builder's bottom line or what the builder does. They are a separate, the general contractor, I guess we should call them, is separate from the architect and the interior designer. They, the general contractor / builder, let's call them, is looking out for you and maintaining that relationship with the expert professional and looking out for your bottom line. And they're checking each other. Diane, wouldn't you say that's true? Like, your builders are making sure that your design is something that they can easily build. They go back and forth with you to work out details when that's needed. So they have expertise that we don't have as well. And they have trades and talent that they can bring to the table and bring ideas to kind of lift the project up. And, you know, there are true craftsmen out there, and that's who you really want on your team.
Yeah. I mean, there's people, architects and designers that make beautiful designs and plans, and then the wrong builder is hired and it cannot be executed. And you see that they spent all this money on these materials and it's just put in so poorly. So I think that's also part of the team, is making sure you have a really great builder. And usually Amity and I have vetted some of these folks because we've worked with them. And so we're able to recommend some. So a lot of times your architect is able to recommend them. And it's also good if the architect and designer do have a good relationship with the builder, because it'll make the whole process go easier. So the builder knows they can just call one of us and say, hey, we ran into this issue. Can you help us fix this? Or, hey, Amity, I'm having problems getting the tile in. Is there anything that you can do? And Amity can say, oh, yeah, I can make a call. Or, you know, there's things like that, which are really helpful.
Yeah, I think being able to solve problems as a team before the client has to get involved or solve issues or come back to the table for the, you know, to the client to make the final decision on this is what came up and these are our solutions. We come to you with answers. If we've got a good team, we can do that, watching out for each other. And, you know, every once in a while, there's something that does need to change. Material isn't coming in and we have to switch our selections, or
the warehouse burns down.
Yeah, that actually happened. Yeah, one of the warehouse burned down. And right now, this is real interesting. Diane might not know this as an architect. You don't have a reason to, but there's a shortage of foam. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there are two companies in the entire country that make the foam that we use for upholstered pieces, and one of them is out of commission. So isn't that interesting that you have to know these kinds of things?
Yes.
But it's true. I think one thing that people don't understand that interior designers do that is different than architects is something like what I just mentioned. Know that the foam factories that supply the foam for the upholstered furniture is out of commission. And that's why lead times are long on furniture. But also when a new product comes out, whether it's a countertop, new composite material, or a brand has a new way of manufacturing or a way of fabricating, or there's a new tile line or a new trend, the suppliers come to us, come to the interior designers, because they know that we're the experts in the finishing. And we get introduced to those products. So we have at our fingertips a lot of different materials that we understand how they work, how to apply them, how they get fabricated. And that's some information we can impart to the design team. That's part of the calculus of kind of putting a house together. The architect and the interior designer are doing that together. And sometimes Diane and I butt heads. Diane, would you think, would you say
that? Yeah, we have no problem telling each other we disagree.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
And then we usually talk through it and figure out.
I think Diane's actually said, I think that's ugly to me many times. And I'll say, well, wait, but hold on. So, yeah, I think being able to do that adds value for the client. And they can hear Diane's side of things and my side of things. And we kind of arm wrestle and get it worked out. But mostly it just means you get a better product in the end.
Yeah, just like in our own office design in San Antonio, we had it in our minds what we were going to do. And then Amity came up with a different idea. And I was just, what? No. But in the end, it's been fabulous.
We've got some positive stories. Let's tell some more positive stories of when it's gone well.
Yeah, so, a really great old 1800s house. Mm-hmm. We had, unfortunately, discovered a lot of secrets in there. I usually refer to the secrets as, you know, things we didn't know behind the walls, all kinds of rot, or determining that that was actually a charcoal fireplace and how do we turn it into a wood burning. And it was a really fun project. Great clients, really excited about everything and the finishes and the process and making sure everything, you know, just turned out really well. We basically cleaned up a mess of an addition that got put on and created a really nice big kind of eat-in kitchen, dining. You did a built-in banquette seating in there that worked out really nice and connected it to the outside and to this great porch. And then we also added a master bath, so kind of brought it back into modern times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was no HVAC at all in the house, too.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
So we had to run.
Figure out how to do the central heating and air.
Boy, that was not easy. So I think that is an example of a project that was pretty huge, actually, taking an old and it's not for the faint of heart to take an old house like that and contemporize it to a point that a family can actually live in it comfortably. Redoing old windows versus putting in new is not always a money saver, but this client was very unique and very committed to the historic nature of the home and wanting to keep it feeling original, but also live in it comfortably. So it was a really great combination of client being able to keep their eye on the ball, like I was talking about earlier, understand where they were going. It wasn't a quick turnaround, but each decision that we made sort of helped the next decision. So I came to the game after Diane had done the layouts. I had seen the house prior, but then Diane did the layouts and the plan and worked on some of the exterior porch elevations and sited a pool. And a shed, I think it was, storage shed. And then we came in and sort of started solving the interiors questions. What should the flooring be in the new section? Can we salvage the existing floors in certain places? Oh, the staircase was an interesting one. Diane, why don't you tell them about the code situation with those stairs?
Yeah, so in the old houses, the handrail was really low. I think it was only about 24, 26 inches. And of course, by code, it needs to be more like 36. So we wanted to keep the integrity of that railing. And so we were able to kind of copy a portion of the spindle and copy it on the bottom to kind of create a plinth that then raised it up. And so no one knows that that wasn't the original staircase or railing on the staircase.
It looks absolutely original, but we actually did surgery, took the railing off, built a new plinth, and then reapplied the railing and refinished it. And I believe we even carved some little rosettes to match other rosettes in the house for the trim at the doors. So that was a real collaboration of architect, interior designer, client. We should mention that the client is a huge part of the team, especially on a project like that, and the builder, so the craftsman that came in. And, you know, that's the kind of project that if the tile was installed wrong or was not kind of in keeping with the architecture, it would really stand out and feel dated very quickly. So that's the other thing I think is important. And this is my little soapbox, and I apologize in advance, but really at least acknowledging the existing architecture of the space, unless you're redoing it all, is really important all the way down. Maybe not furniture, but to lighting, anything attached to the house.
Well, what was really fun is you used that emerald green.
Yeah.
And wasn't it inspired by their pants?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the client.
The emerald green is so period to the house, too.
It is. It is. Yeah. The client had what he called his money pants that he wore when he was feeling lucky about business. And so when we chose green, the client thought that was fun because, yeah, they're great fashion sense, too, this couple.
And it's stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I would say another good positive story is I had a client, this is about 2 years ago, come to me, and they had hired a plan designer, and they had bought a property up to a creek bed. And so, of course, we had flood zone, erosion control, all the ugh stuff we have to deal with the city on. But they had come with this plan and design, and it was pretty horrible. And I don't like to diss anyone else, but it was pretty horrible. And I kind of talked to the couple about what each of them wanted, and my office came up with a great new design that was actually probably a little more out of the box of what they were thinking. But when we showed it to them, they absolutely loved it. And we just went and had celebratory drinks at their house because they've moved in, and they just absolutely love it. And we really, it's not a big house. They're a, you know, verging on retirement couple. And so it's interesting because we basically, I would say it actually is probably four bedrooms, but really it's the master bedroom, a guest bedroom, his study, and he has a yoga loft, and her office, and painting studio. So, and it all kind of surrounds this really great big open plan in the center, which then has all clerestory windows. So you get to see all these amazing trees on the property, and the light is just stellar. And then it has a big sliding glass door that you look out to the creek, and there's a great big porch on the back. And it was interesting when we met with them, they said, how did you even come up with this? We're just still in such awe, and we're just enjoying it so much. So it was real fun to talk about how that whole process went.
Yeah, it's funny. It makes me think about, you know, clients that come to us and kind of start giving us a list of what they want and how they want it solved. And they're giving us more information than they should, and it's the wrong information. And I mean that in the nicest way. They think they've solved what the problem is, and they think they know what the answer is. And I've found over many years of doing this that if you don't push the envelope with them and just be an order taker, act like a vendor instead of an expert professional, the relationship can fall flat, and they don't, the trust is not there. So I think it's really important to always have, even if you try to say, okay, well, I'm going to draw that. I'm going to show you what you think is the answer. And then I'm going to show you what the real answer is, something more grand or just different or solving a different problem that they don't really even see as the issue in the house. That can, when you show them that, it can, they can't go back from it. And they're so grateful. And really, that's about objectivity. I think you have to go into it, and you don't live there. And you don't wash the kid in the bathtub, and you don't have these preconceived ideas. You're looking at it with objectivity, and then you're applying your expertise, and that might lead the project in a different direction. It's fun when that happens, that you can direct them to a whole different outcome that long term makes them happy. You know, they're going to be able to retire in that house and have all that beautiful light and enjoy it for a long time versus trying to solve for something that would have been less than what they needed.
Yeah, I would definitely say that one of them was constantly trying to figure it all out and solve it. And I kept trying to say, just don't worry about it. I'll get it sorted out.
Yeah.
And it was funny because they didn't really cook. And now she said she cooks every day and loves it because she loves being in that kitchen. So we actually weren't really designing necessarily a chef's kitchen, but it still works out well.
You turned them into a chef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I think kind of being that oracle and kind of pulling from the client what it is that they want. And then what is really going to serve them, and weighing those two things out and coming back to them with solutions that do both, and then letting them decide, I think is really where the value lies. And then seeing it all the way through to installation, because there's also a quality control aspect of it where a lot of times clients will say, well, can you design it? And then we don't need you to manage it. And I usually walk away from those clients as well, only because the outcome, sometimes it doesn't get interpreted right. We've got the plan and we pass it off to the builder, and then the builder thinks they understand what we're trying to go for, but it doesn't come out exactly right. But then who gets the blame is actually me, with none of the credit. So I'd love to be able to be part of the, it's true, to be part of the process, so that if there is an issue that comes up or the change that needs to be made, we can redesign and make better decisions and kind of help the client get where they want to be. So quality control is a big part of it too. And but yeah, I definitely don't find it interesting to strip houses of their unique personality. And wherever we can, we try to, if there isn't a personality, we try to add it in.
Yeah, with existing houses. With new houses, we can make it whatever we want
true.
It to be.
That's true.
So new houses are really fun. When you're working with remodels and additions, you kind of have constraints and things that you can't necessarily change. But with a new house, although you might have some property easements or things like that, or limits on the square footage, you're able to really design exactly what you want and get exactly what you want. And in fact, I had a client, worked with them for years doing kitchen remodel, this addition, and she had come around and had a whole kind of new life, new family life situation in front of her, and we were looking at remodeling her house again and adding on, and it just we weren't able to get it the way it should be, and the cost was kind of what it would cost to build new. So I suggested, I think we ought to tear this down and build exactly what you want. And I said, before I told her that, I kind of had to preface, you're probably going to cry when I tell you this, but however, that is what we did, and they absolutely loved their house, and we were able to orient it with the great views, and really, you know, we completely changed where the garage was and just made it so much better for the lot and for their family as well.
So that's exactly kind of what I was saying earlier about applying your expertise and your knowledge to a situation for a different outcome than what the client thought they wanted to do. And it's not always, you do have to kind of break hearts sometimes, but in the end, they were happy and it was the right thing. And the same thing with my clients. When I take the time to do that, it pays off in the end. I had a client the other day we've done 3 or 4 projects for. So they understand the value. They're aligned. We have a great working relationship. And I started down a path with them, kind of like, okay, letting them lead a little bit about what needed to happen and when it needed to happen. And the solutions really weren't coming. And I had to kind of throw down my pencil and say, what's the real overall issue here? Let's take it back to the beginning. What would I tell this person if I wanted to serve them the best way possible? And what I would tell them is, we need to start over on this room. It's lived a life. It's taken some turns. And now it's time to reassess where it is now versus where it was 5 years ago when we finished it, and come up with the right answer. Of course, I haven't heard back from them yet. I just sent that email yesterday.
They're thinking about it.
We'll see. It was late yesterday. So, but in the end, it doesn't serve me to just kind of do as they ask if it's not the right thing for their house. And I think most clients appreciate that.
Although I will say Amity's great at working with, if you have like a piece of furniture that you've had in the family forever, yeah, and you just have to keep it and we need to work it in somehow, she's fantastic at getting all that to work seamlessly.
To jive, yeah. Yeah, I love working with family heirlooms and, you know, Aunt Polly's chair. And I had a client once contact me to say they needed just a guest room redecorate, which sounded fun to me. And the problem was, the husband had inherited this massive Victorian bed that the wife absolutely hated, and it didn't go in her mind with what else was happening in the house. And it was just the bane of her existence. And so but it was non-negotiable. It was staying. So, well, we came in and we redesigned the bedroom, and she loves it. It's her favorite room in the house. The bed is still there. We made it work. So all of that's just about balance in the decorating process, which we do as well. So, and we haven't talked about that too much, but that is the feather in the cap at the end. If there's any money left over to decorate, you definitely want to do the new furniture and the old furniture, the existing furniture and the vintage, the highs and the lows, and kind of getting that mix right. It's super important to not blow anybody's budget on every single thing being new or every single thing being custom, but getting those highs and lows in balance right is important so that we get great photographs at the end on our projects. I will say, to me, thinking this through, if we're putting sort of a period at the end of the sentence on the importance of the team and getting that team right, I think it's objectivity is first. You want someone with a new perspective, and we've talked a little bit about that, kind of looking at things, turning them upside down. Expertise, so someone with some experience. The team, the sort of talent that is at the fingertips of the people that you hire, so you're not starting from scratch on that end. I think those three are really the top reasons to bring in the right team. And then interpersonal relationships, Diane, would you agree? We get along.
Yeah, having your team all respect each other and communicate well is very important.
Yeah, and to finish that off too, it's communicate well verbally and with this very old-fashioned thing called a telephone that people need to learn to use again. Text, yes, but telephone and email, good communication skills. And also good drawings, very solid sets of plans, finished schedules, etc. You want to make sure that your team has the ability to communicate that, because that's part of your agreement with your general contractor.
Builder. Yeah, that's part of the expertise.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.